Welcome to the Amazon Web Services Podcast, hosted by Simon Alicia and Simone Brunozzi. This is your regular insight into the world of AWS with service updates, architecture discussions, and technical tips. You can contact us on our website, aws.amazon.com/podcast, by email at awspodcast@amazon.com, and on Twitter at @AWSPodcast. Hello and welcome to the AWS Podcast. This is podcast episode number 7. My name is Simon Alicia and I'm Principal Solution Architect here at Amazon Web Services in Australia. And joining me, as always, is my colleague Simone Brunozzi. Hello, Simone.
Yes. Hello, Simon. I'm a technology evangelist based in California, in San Francisco. I finally moved after a quick transition through Italy, through my home country, for some days of relax. So now it's episode number 7, and we heard a few good things from our customers, from our listeners. It seems that they like those podcasts. They have a lot of questions, a lot of things that they want us to cover. And a couple of questions came on simple email service. So this is what we're going to talk about today. So first, what it is. So Amazon Simple Email Service, also called Amazon SES, is a highly scalable and cost-effective bulk and transactional email sending service for businesses and developers. And it eliminates the complexity and expense of building an in-house email solution or licensing, installing, and operating a third-party email service. And the service, of course, integrates very well with other AWS services, making it easy to send emails from applications being hosted on services such as Amazon EC2. SES, as always, there's no long-term commitment, no minimum spend or negotiation required. Businesses can just utilize a free usage tier, and after that, they can enjoy low fees for the number of emails sent plus data transfer fees. And of course, we have some news on SES. You want to talk about it, Simon?
Yeah, totally. SES is one of those great little services that helps customers reduce the need to focus on things like whitelisting, blacklisting, and other management headaches when you're sending transactional or bulk email. So some people use this to handle signups to web pages and incidental notifications. Others use it to send hundreds of thousands of newsletters to their customer base. And as with most AWS services, it's always evolving, changing, and incorporating new functionality based on customer demand. So I'm going to run through a few of the highlights of late that people might be interested in. So the first one is SMTP support. When SES was first released, all programmatic interaction was via the API. And whilst this is suitable in many cases, often customers wanted to use the Simple Mail Transport Protocol, SMTP, because it's a familiar mechanism to use email. Now you could use SMTP with a simple process with SES to create and obtain the credentials and configuration required just by visiting the SES tab on the GUI. Super easy to set up, super easy to integrate with your application.
Nice.
Another thing that customers have asked for is an expanded set of attachments for their emails. Obviously, we make sure we look at the different types of attachments because different attachments can be used for different and nefarious purposes. So we want to make sure that we have the broadest range of support, but also maintain security. So some of the things we've added of late over the last few months include PDFs, MP3s, MPEG, AVI, Excel, XLSS, Docx, EPUBs, XML, and many, many more. It's a big list. Check out the show notes link for the full list. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Something else that's happened recently is that we've changed the way we verify our senders. In the past, you had to verify each individual email address sending within the domain. And this was a little bit inconvenient for some customer use cases. So now I've introduced domain verification, where you can verify your entire domain, which gives you more flexibility about where you send your emails from, which is pretty cool. Speaking of flexibility, we've also recently introduced programmable feedback notification. This is where you can now arrange for SES to notify you of bounces and complaints by sending JSON formatted messages to the SNS, Simple Notification Service, topics of your choice. So you can be getting real-time information about what's happening with your send traffic.
Now, wow, a lot of news, right?
A lot of stuff. And, you know, sending email is its own black art and is quite complicated and is interesting as well of what happens behind the scenes. So we now have a new SES-specific blog with lots of information about the ins and outs of sending quality emails to your customers. You can visit this at http://sesblog.amazon.com. Super interesting site, really good stuff to look at.
Nice.
Very nice. Now, I think it's time to move to another service, and it's a service that I think is very cool, and I know, Simone, you're a real fan of it. So maybe I'll introduce it and then let you rip into it for our customers.
Yes, very nice.
The service is called ElastiCache. And Amazon ElastiCache is a web service that makes it easy to deploy, operate, and scale an in-memory cache in the cloud. The service improves the performance of web applications by allowing you to retrieve information from a fast, managed, in-memory caching system instead of having to rely entirely on slower disk-based databases. It's protocol compliant with Memcached, which is a widely adopted memory object caching system. So code, applications, and popular tools that you probably use today with existing Memcached environments work seamlessly with the service. But I'm not the expert on Memcached. I'm luckily that I have the person who is. Simone, give us the ins and outs.
Of course. So first, one very common question about Memcached for people that are not familiar with it is, why is it faster? So the reason is very simple. When you're going to retrieve some piece of data in your databases, of course, typically you just query the database. The database searches for this piece of data in the disks, and then retrieves the data and sends it back to you. Of course, if you cache those data in a memory, this is the Memcached or the ElastiCache service, it's easier for your application to retrieve data in a much faster way. And this is the reason why ElastiCache or Memcached is faster. So we have some new key features. One is the pre-configured parameters. So now the Amazon ElastiCache nodes are pre-configured with a sensible set of parameters and settings that are appropriate for the node type that you have selected. So you can simply launch a Memcached cluster and connect your application within minutes without additional configuration. And if you desire additional control, you can achieve it via cache parameter groups. Then there is an automatic failure detection and recovery. So Amazon ElastiCache now monitors the health of your cache clusters and automatically replaces your cache nodes in the event of network partitioning, host hardware, or software failure. And of course, the replaced cache nodes are designed to have the same DNS name as the failed cache nodes, which means that you essentially have no need for client-side refresh of endpoints lists, which is very nice thing.
Super nice.
And we have a few more things. For example, detailed monitoring and metrics. Now the Amazon ElastiCache provides detailed Amazon CloudWatch metrics for your Memcached deployments at no additional charge. I love when we do this, no additional charge. So you can use the AWS Management Console to view key operational metrics for your cache nodes, including memory or compute capacity utilization, cache hits, cache misses, which is actually a very good thing to look at if you want to understand if your Memcached or ElastiCache cluster is performing well, and of course the number of cache connections. Another feature that we released is automatic software patching. So now Amazon ElastiCache updates the cache software powering your deployment with the latest patches, and you can control when and if your cache clusters are patched via the Cache Engine Version Management. We also have another last thing, the push button scaling. Using a few clicks of the AWS Management Console or a simple API call, you can also scale the memory resources powering your deployment in minutes by adding or deleting cache nodes. And now I'll let you talk about one customer example, Simon.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot going on there, so it's interesting to see what customers do with these types of services. This particular customer is Esri, and Esri is the world's largest provider of geographic information system software. And I'll quote from what the customer said. Quote, "We use ElastiCache to cache the user data and maps in ArcGIS, our collaborative web-based mapping application." And this was said by Andrea Rosso, who's senior architect at Esri. Quote, "ElastiCache is fully managed and Memcached compatible, which made it easy to integrate, deploy, and monitor a multi-node cache cluster in our production environment. ElastiCache reduced the load on our databases and enabled our service to remain responsive to users even in the face of rapidly growing traffic," end quote. And that's really a story that a lot of customers talk about, is that they're facing increased traffic, they want a better customer experiencing. One of the great software patterns around that is, of course, caching. Now,
nice.
If you want to learn more about how to do this, there is an awesome video about how to use ElastiCache that you made, Simone. So
yeah, of course.
Our listeners can have a look at that. There's a link in the show notes. It's actually on the front page of the ElastiCache site in our AWS site. So if you want to learn how to use it, that's the place to go.
And they can also recognize the thick accent, of course.
The beautiful accent.
So now it's time for the Black Belt Tip, and today we're going to talk about EBS, in particular using EBS snapshots to move data across availability zones, or AZs. So let me introduce the situation now, and then I'll let you cover the Black Belt Tip. Usually know, Elastic Block Store, or EBS, volumes are created locally to a specified availability zone. And the data is automatically replicated within that availability zone to prevent data loss due to the loss of a single hardware component. So EBS can sustain the loss of a single hardware component and still retain the data that you put into it. So EBS volumes can only be attached to EC2 instances that reside in the same availability zone. So what can you do if you have a volume in one AZ or availability zone and the instance you want to attach it to in another? So How can we do this, Simon?
Indeed, this is where our AWS Black Belt Tip comes in, and is a tip I've shared with a number of customers lately. You could use the EBS snapshot capability to move data around availability zones within the same region. And this is because EBS snapshot uses S3 as its storage location. And S3, of course, is replicated across the entire region. So let me run you through the process in a nutshell. You basically take a snapshot of the EBS volume that you want to copy. You then select that snapshot and select Create Volume from Snapshot, the option in the menu, or you can do it through the API. And you can choose the volume size and the availability zone to create it in. Hey presto, the volume is in the desired availability zone. The nice thing is all this takes place immediately because we're using point-in-time snapshots. So the process of taking the volume snapshot is basically instantaneous, and the process of creating the new volume is basically instantaneous. So it's a pretty cool, easy little trick to get you out of a jam if you've got your data in one place and your compute in another.
Very nice. So I think it's time to wrap up again, right?
Absolutely. We've run out of time again. I know a lot of people are listening to this podcast on their commute, or on their way to work, or on their way home from work. So I hope you've had a good day, or have a good day coming up. As ever, we love to hear your feedback on Twitter at AWS Podcast, or on our website, aws.amazon.com/apac/podcast. Until next time, great talking to you, and hope to hear from you soon. Thanks, Simone.
Yes, thanks, Simon. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the AWS Podcast. We love to get your feedback, so please contact us via our website, aws.amazon.com/podcast, via email at awspodcast@amazon.com, and on Twitter at @AWSPodcast. Background music provided under Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 by Porchcat. Visit ccmixter.org/files/porchcat/3705.